Good morning. We thank God for giving me this opportunity to share what He's placed in my heart and what He's speaking to all of us this morning. It's time for the word. Let's just pray. That's why I deliberately put those Bibles up there, so that if you need a Bible, there's some at the back. Just help yourself. And yeah. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you because you are here with us, Father. I pray that you prepare our hearts as we listen to you, what you are saying to us. May you speak to our soul. May you speak to our spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, may you use me as your instrument. May you fill us with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. May these words be your words, not mine, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, we'll be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. I'll read. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering of many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going into heaven." Amen. So this morning we're looking at the ascension, Jesus leaving his disciple, going to heaven. We've come to the end of our series. Actually, I'm just wrapping up. Oh, sorry, guys. I didn't put the verse on the... Yes, that's why you need the Bibles. Yeah. So we've been looking at what Jesus did for us, his passion, you know, from the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then he was betrayed, tried. After three, he went to the cross, died. After 3 days, the Lord Jesus came back to life. First meeting with the women, and then the two disciples. After the resurrection, the Lord stayed for 40 days with his disciples, teaching them about the kingdom of God, and also proved to many who believed in him that it was true. He was alive. Jesus Christ is alive. Even today, he's still alive. Amen? We are serving a living God. The tomb could not contain him. And also he appeared to several different people at different times during these 40 days, eating and drinking with them, meeting them in Galilee according to his own appointment, subjecting his body to be touched and handled by them so that they actually believe that he is real, instructing them about the kingdom, appearing to up to 500 people at once. And you can read that in Corinthians. I think Paul is talking about that, 15:6, I believe. Continuing this public manifestation of himself for 40 days. Today, as we look at the book of Acts of the Apostles, we will conclude this series, Why Easter Matters. Looking and learning from the disciples in this period when they saw their Lord going up into heaven, how they felt and what was their response. The book of Acts was written by St. Luke, same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke, which we have been going through during this series, but I'm just going to touch on Act just a little bit at the beginning as we read chapter 1. If you haven't listened yet to all these series we've been listening to, we still have recordings online. You can go and listen to them and just recap on what I'm saying. And there's some amazing teaching, and you'll be blessed. Even if you are here, you can still go back and listen to them. Here we see Luke writing to Theophilus in the book of Acts. They say that he was a nobleman because a Roman official, high-ranked Roman official. So in the book of Luke, you see that Luke is calling him Most Excellent Theophilus. So this was a formal title used for high-ranking officers in those times. So he was quite a significant person in the society, his social status and all that. In the book of Acts, Luke started by telling him, O Theophilus, in verse 1, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to teach and do. So he's just telling him, look, I've already done that already. I spoke about the life of Jesus Christ, what he did until he was taken up. Now, I'm writing to you the Acts of the Apostles. So he was probably keen just to understand Theophilus, to understand what was going on about the kingdom and what Jesus did. So Luke here is telling him, look, I've already dealt with that. Like I'm saying to you guys, we've already dealt with the book of Luke. If you want to go back, just go back and listen online what others said about that. until the day when he was taken. This is Luke speaking, writing down in verse 2. He had given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen. And today I'll be speaking about the command, what Jesus said to them. And one of those commandments was, stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So the disciples stayed in Jerusalem after seeing Jesus going up to heaven, and waited for the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the other thing was, when you get baptized, go and preach this gospel. We find that in the book of Mark 16, 15, and 18. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And this is the promise that Jesus gave to us as well, as believers, that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover because we believe in him. And if you're not confident on doing that, this is just a side note. Start by praying for yourself. Sometimes I do that. I feel headache. I pray for that, for healing. The more you do it, the more confident you get, and you can pray for others as well. God is faithful. So the disciples stayed in Jerusalem, waited for the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit came, they were all filled with the power on high, the Holy Spirit, as it was promised. Couple of lessons I want us to learn from the disciples. First lesson is that unity. The disciples were united. They were all together throughout this experience. They didn't go separate ways, but they're all united together while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. God loves when his children are in agreement, are together, are united. Just like the disciples, they were united and in one accord, praying together. And if you read down the chapter 14 and 15, in some verses 14 and 15, all this with one accord, they were devoted themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary and the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers, a company of at least 120 people, but they were staying together, united. Not Manchester United, but they were just united as a church. And God is calling us as a church to be united, to be together, to pray together, to be people of one accord. And that's the church Jesus Christ is coming for. People who are together and devoted themselves to prayer. We are to devote ourselves to prayer as a church. We have to have that togetherness, that unity. That's why in this church it is important for us to come at engine rooms meetings, Tuesday morning meetings, praying together. Because when we pray together, the Holy Spirit moves. God moves. He says that in the book of Matthew 18. Again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them. For my Father in heaven, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So the Lord, they understood that, because this is Jesus teaching his disciples beforehand, before he was crucified. So they stuck together. They were united. They were in one accord. And we can learn from them as a church to be united, to be in one accord, to be together. It's like, I would liken it to charcoal. When you put charcoal together and you light the fire is intense. Why? Because they are together. But when you separate them, or you put one on the side, you don't get the same fire. You don't get the same amount of heat. It's the same with the church. When we are together, when we are united, there's more fire. There's more power. And when the Holy Spirit blows, fire intensifies. God is calling us to fellowship with one another. Being involved in the church. And also the reason why I chose this picture, because as you can see, there's some charcoals which are really, really hot. And some of them are just getting there. And in church, we have that. Some people are on fire. Some people are medium heat. But when we are together, there's more fire. There's more heat. This is important for our church. Working together. It's easy these days to follow church and social medias. You just say, okay, I'm going to stay home and watch online. But actually, it's good when we come together. That way you benefit, and also other people benefit from what God has put in you. Here at Uni Church, we value every single person, because we know that God has given you a gift and a skill which is needed for his kingdom. If you keep that gift to yourself, how is the kingdom going to benefit from that? So God is calling us to be united as a church, as children of God, as the body of Christ. We have to be in unity, in agreement, praying together, and we'll see the transformation. And will attract other people, because they will see the great light. They will see the heat coming from this place. And that's what the disciples did. They were together. Although their Lord went to heaven, but they stuck together. And they didn't just sit doing nothing, but they were praying and they were devoted to prayer. So that's my first point. My second point is waiting on the Lord. The disciples, they believed. And they were waiting for the Lord. Not like this guy on the bus stop. He's just standing there. No. They were in prayer. They were praying and seeking God. Sometimes waiting can be difficult. I find it difficult. I used to find it, but now I've improved a little bit. Difficult to wait. But Jesus said to them, go, Jerusalem, wait there. The Holy Spirit will come. So the disciples, they said, all right, we'll go back to Jerusalem. And they did. And they were waiting for the Lord. Because God is faithful, eventually the Holy Spirit came to give them power to do the work. Sometimes the process is difficult, but we have to be patient in waiting. We can trust God no matter what. Sometimes we pray for things and we've been waiting for a long time. But God is always faithful. He knows the time and season for us. He is faithful to his promises. The disciples understood that. So they waited for the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have questions, like the disciples, they had questions. So when would you restore the kingdom of Israel? Because they thought it was just then. We want it right now. But sometimes we have to be patient because God knows the times and the seasons. Sometimes if he gives us too early, will destroy what he's given us. So he does things by his own authority. And while we are waiting, as a church, for the return of Jesus Christ, we're not just waiting like this person here, sitting idle, doing nothing. But we are waiting for him. He said he will come back. And while we are waiting is when we work. We do his work. We continue to pray. We continue to serve. We continue to minister. We continue to shine, to be the light in our communities, in our churches, in our everywhere where we go. Because that's what we are called to do while we are waiting for the Lord. Although it's taken 2,000 years plus, but one thing for sure, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. And if you have never given your life to him, make that decision. Make that decision today. Because he's coming back. I'm always excited when I think about Jesus' return. Returning to earth. I'm always excited about that. I don't know if you are excited about this. I remember when I got born again, I was like, come on, Jesus, can you just come back? Or just take me. I want to go to heaven, you know? Yes, Christians, we should be excited. We should be expecting him to come back anytime. But obviously, if you have never received him, you don't have that relationship with him, this is the time to make that decision and receive him so that you are saved. The church is eagerly waiting for him. We're waiting for his return. So he didn't just go forever and leave us, but he is coming back. That is for sure. But while we are waiting, we need to continue to be together, unity. We need to pray together. We need to wait patiently for him. But he is coming back. My next point, while we are waiting, love. As believers, as the children of God, we have to walk in love. Just like the disciples, they're all together sharing with one another. We have to walk in love while we are waiting for the Master. And love helps us to walk in unity. Love will help us be patient while we are waiting. Loving one another in a godly manner. It's because of love that today we'll partake of this table. Jesus' body. It's because of his love that we started looking at the passion of Christ, what Jesus suffered to get to this point of his return and ascension to heaven. It's because of love. If God did not love us, we wouldn't be here today. But he so loved the world that he gave his only son. So we also, as believers, we have to walk in love. So that everything I said before about waiting, about unity, can work. Without that, even if we serve like no other, but if we don't have love, it doesn't matter really. We're just wasting our time. Jesus Christ demonstrated the real love on the cross. And this morning, if you don't feel loved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. I'm going to finish up with these two verses. First, I'll start with 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never ends. And then it continues. So that we walk in unity, we grow as a church, we need this. We need to be patient and kind and everything else which is said in that passage. I'd like to encourage you, just take that a moment and just think about this. If we truly show one another this kind of love, the world will know that we are the children of God. And then Paul says this in Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 7. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Amen. So this is it. This is what the disciple did. They stayed together. And God blessed them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they proclaimed the gospel. We have to be together in unity. We have to walk in love and patiently waiting for the Lord. And while we are waiting, let's go out and preach this gospel to every soul, every creature. So if you have an opportunity to speak about Jesus, do it. Do it. I get excited when people ask me about Jesus. I get excited. I want to tell them all about it. It's the only subject I get confident. I'm like, yes, come on, let's have it. Yes, and all Christian, we have to share that gospel to the world. Jesus went up, but is coming back again. Amen. So now we'll share his love for us, his body. I'll pass on to him. Thank you.